Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Matt. Good morning. How do you do? Hey, Matt. Just want to talk about the boys in tried the barbecue. Hey man, what's new in the clubhouse? The bullpen and the lineup too. Hey man, how was the road trip? Bob and Josh wanna know. Hey man, what do you think of Slugger and AM radio? Hey man, is it true you're a deadhead too? Hey man,
it is time to talk to the skipper of the Kansas City Royals, Matt Quatrero, here on 610 Sports Radio. I'll tell you what, Skip, this has been fun watching what's been going on since the All-Star break. But before we get into Bobby and how great he has been, what went down the other night that allowed the benches to get so heated like that? What happened out there from your perspective?
Well, I mean, started with the hit by pitch. I mean, everybody took exception to that. That was, you know, it's a bad look when, regardless of which team it is, when the game's getting opened up a little bit, somebody gets hit clearly, you know, especially when it's Bobby after the night he was having. It just got everybody's, you know, got everybody fueled up. And then when you, anytime when guys are out on the field at the same time, the passion gets going, people start talking, and there's not a lot of listening going on. It's more talking and more just, you know, bravado and stuff like that. But it just, whenever the opposing team is talking to your players, or if I were to go out there and confront their players, that's not a good look. And that's really what happened.
You know, I liken it to this, and I think you can probably relate, being a dad. Like, if somebody starts lecturing your kid, like, wait, hang on a second here. You're not in charge of lecturing my kid. I'll handle that. I'll punish my kid. I'll discipline my kid. Don't start telling my kid what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way. But, yeah, that's probably a good comparison. I think, and I have no doubt that Torrey was – had good intentions, and, you know, things just got out of hand. You know, it just wasn't, but thankfully it didn't get so out of hand that it was something, you know, that led to ejections or suspensions or anything like that.
And we're lucky Bobby didn't get hurt seriously too, because that was a wicked pitch to get hit by.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you take that risk every time you go up to the plate, right? But sure. In that particular case, yeah, we're very fortunate that it grazed him, and, you know, overall, the I have no idea. We never know if there's intent, but that certainly looked that way to me.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was as well. I've got two eyes. We all do. We all know the situation in the game, what Bobby was doing that day. They can say everything they want, and this is me, not you speaking, but, you know, I think we're on the same page here. That was clear intent, and I also like the fact that you guys came back, plunked one of their guys, and then the umpires warned both sides, Matt. I thought that was like, all right, we know what's going on here. We're going to warn both sides. And then the skipper on the other side takes it to the next level, because I thought that was kind of the perfect way to retaliate, if you will, however you want to say it, for hitting Bobby Witt. And then the umpires understood and they warned everybody. And I thought that was, I thought they handled it great.
Yeah, warnings are one of those things that are, it's a very touch and go thing, because oftentimes it happens at a time where the team that gets hit is penalized essentially with the warnings. But in this case, regardless of the intent or the what happened prior to that, you know, I think and I think Torrey's point was right. If they thought there was intent for their guy to hit Bobby, then the umpire could have just thrown him out at that time, you know. And you know, so that's the only thing. If you could rewind it, it probably would have diffused the situation immediately.
Coming out of the All-Star game, four in a row, handling business on the offensive side, taking care of the White Sox, you win the first game, now you're up in the rubber match tonight against Arizona. What's kind of been the spark that really has it? As I've watched all season, Coach, and you know, you watch this team in the last four or five games, it seems like there's a bit of like a new sort of vibe within that locker room, where these guys, like, they know what's at stake, and that the games are starting to get smaller and smaller as the season goes on.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to the starting pitching. I mean, the first four games of the second half, the starters were outstanding. And anytime you're going to be in a game when your starters are keeping the other team limited in offense, you're going to have a chance. I don't know if it's a different vibe. I don't know if I would say that, because our guys have done a great job all year of turning the page to the next day. Whether we win the day before or lose, they come out to compete like crazy the next day. And I think that's what separates good teams, is that you don't worry about whether you had a good day or a bad day the day before. You're ready to go today, because, you know, when you're at the highest level of whatever sport you're competing in, yesterday is over. Nobody cares. The other team doesn't care what you did yesterday. They're coming out to beat you today, and that's what our guys have done a great job of.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, fun to kind of watch the rebound more than anything, because, you know, for so many years the Royals would lose one and then it turns into 10. You guys lose one, so what? We're back the next day. And to me, I think that really starts with Bobby and watching the way that just he plays. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody dominate a game like Bobby Witt is dominating right now. You know, when he gets up there, he's putting that ball in play. He's probably going to end up on second base, and if the leadoff guy gets on, it's a quick 1-0 lead already right out of the chute for you guys. From where you sit in that dugout, like, what are you thinking when you watch this guy play right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, this stretch of games has been, you know, otherworldly. I mean, I kind of joked about it. He's like that really big 12-year-old in Little League that is just playing at a different level than all the other kids that. But, you know, we saw him go on one of these runs last year too, kind of like, you know, end of July, early August, where he was just playing a different game than other guys. But, you know, I think what makes Bobby special is he understands the team concept as well. I mean, he's doing everything he can possibly do right now, but he's supporting his teammates. He's, you know, when he doesn't get a hit or he doesn't do something positive, he's right there ready to help the next guy. He's talking through what the pitcher's got with the guys that are coming up to hit. You know, and he, it's not just position players. I mean, I think our guys, Bobby specifically, but I think all our guys are breaking down that sometimes divide that, you know, with pitchers and position players. I mean, this team is very unified, and I think they all understand that everybody's got to do their job for us to have a chance. Because while Bobby's swinging the bat extremely well and playing at a high level, he knows that he's one guy out of 26, and I think that's one of those separators that makes him special.
I think, Q, the difference now, though, with Witt and going on this tear now, he's doing it in games that are important games in a playoff race, and everybody's watching, and he hasn't wavered. Sometimes guys play great when nobody's paying attention. Literally, the world is paying attention and saying he should be the MVP of this league, and he's still going out there and raking like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, and I think that there's going to be a point in these last couple months where he's not 12 for 13 or whatever, you know.
What?
Clearly. So, I mean, you're not going to see him waver in his intensity or his focus or his professionalism. None of that's going to change with him, and we know that. And those are the stabilizers. It's just like Salvi. I mean, they have the same demeanor and will to push teammates to get better and win games. And so it's not about them in their eyes. And that's what separates them.
You know, I also think low key what's working for you guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is like when stuff went down the other night, like Will Smith really started to lead that bullpen out onto the field. Like I saw that. I'm like, that's leadership mentality right there. And I think for that moment for me was that's why you have Will Smith on this team type of moment for me, because he was like, he was ready to lead that bullpen the other night.
Will Smith does a lot of things that lead. Yeah. And most of them are never seen by the public. You know, a lot of them aren't even seen by me. I just know that they're going on. I mean, he is a true leader. He is a true professional. He knows what it's like to win. He knows what it's like to have fun in this game because you win. And I think those are the kinds of things that are immeasurable when, you know, I'm certainly not down there. I don't hear the conversations and things that are going on in the bullpen, but you can feel when he's around. You can sense when he's had an impact on the guys or even on one guy individually. So I did not see that the other night. You know, my attention was elsewhere,
right.
But it does not surprise me at all, because he is a true team leader.
Yeah, when you look at this team and you see how they play at home, you know, I think you guys are 35-19. The other day we had callers in our postgame show and they were doing the Let's Go Lugo chants. You have the Bobby chants, obviously, every night. He's probably the hometown favorite by a landslide. What does that kind of do for the team? And, I mean, obviously the record would implicate that you guys are 35-19 at home, and playing here is a special place. But when you hear those chants, you see those sort of roars come out, and even when Castellanos hits Bobby Witt Jr., I'm going to be honest with you, when Robinson Cano did the home run derby here in 14, there were a lot of boos. That was pretty close to the same sort of volume of boos the other night.
Well, it's invigorating. You know, we know how special this city is and how special the fans are. We know what it's like. I've seen it on the other side. You guys have seen it as you know, the hometown fans. When this team is winning and that ballpark is full, it's a difference maker. And I think our guys are starting to sense that. Last weekend's crowds against the White Sox were huge and vocal. And the, you know, the thing Monday night with the hit by pitch, that was another spot where you could sense the passion, you could sense the pride in what's been happening. And I think our players sense it too and feed off of it. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it last week or not, but it's been really impressive too. When we go on the road, I mean, the last road trip, we were in Colorado and St. Louis and Boston. There were a lot of Royals fans on the road, and that really struck me. That was really cool, because, you know, St. Louis is a traditional baseball city and they love their team. We had plenty of Royals fans there, and then Boston too. I mean, you know what that place is like when you go there and they're winning, and that place is packed. But there were vocal Royals fans on the road too, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought Monday night was like that defining line, Skip, where you look at, you know, when did the city officially buy in and adopt this team? I thought Monday night was that night where this city finally came around and goes, this is our team and we're here to win.
Well, I mean, you certainly know from watching this more than I have. I mean, that's a great thing to hear. That's something that I hope is the case. And I think our guys have played with the kind of energy and the kind of effort that the city appreciates and the fans appreciate. And I mean, who doesn't love a playoff race, right? I mean, we're right in the middle of it. It's what we play for. It's what the fans want to see. So it's a two-way street.
All right, let's play the baseball card game before you go take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks tonight. You ready?
Ready.
All right, here we go. We got an 88 Tops featuring Bobby Ojeda.
Oh, it's a tough one. It's a trick. Am I going to get this one wrong?
Don't overthink it.
The Mets.
Yes, you got it.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. You're going out
See
on top, right? See you next week, Skip. Appreciate
right.
the time. Matt Quatrero with us here on 610 Sports Radio, the manager of the Royals. You can hear him exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. They get set for the Diamondbacks tonight
out at Kauffman Stadium. Go take 2 out of 3 before an off day on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
And then have the Cubs roll into town for a weekend ass whooping at the hands of the Royals.
And then you'll play your best friends, the Chicago
White
Sox.
That's right. Go play the White Sox up in Chicago.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has presented MyQ Technology, or patented MyQ Technology, and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. 18 games, too much or not enough? That's the question we have on the other side. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey man, good morning.
Talk to the skipper of the Kansas City Royals, Mac Quatrero, here on 610 Sports Radio. I'll tell you what, Skip, this has been fun watching what's been going on since the All-Star break. But before we get into Bobby and how great he has been, what went down the other night that allowed the benches to get so heated like that? What happened out there from your perspective?
Well, I mean, started with the hit by pitch. I mean, everybody right. took exception to that. That was, you know, it's a bad look when, regardless of which team it is, when the game's getting opened up a little bit, somebody gets hit clearly, you know, especially when it's Bobby after the night he was having. It just got everybody's, you know, got everybody fueled up. And then anytime when guys are out on the field at the same time, the passion gets going, people start talking, and there's not a lot of listening going on. It's more talking and more just, you know, bravado and stuff like that. But it just, whenever the opposing team is talking to your players, or if I were to go out there and confront their players, that's not a good look. And that's really what happened.
You know, I liken it to this, and I think you can probably relate, being a dad. Like, if somebody starts lecturing your kid, like, wait, hang on a second here. That you're not in charge of lecturing my kid. I'll handle that. I'll punish my kid. I'll discipline my kid. Don't start telling my kid what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I hadn't thought of it that way. But, yeah, that's probably a good comparison. I think I have no doubt that Tory was – had good intentions, and, you know, things just got out of hand. You know, it just wasn't, but thankfully it didn't get so out of hand that it was something, you know, that led to ejections or suspensions or anything like that.
And we're lucky Bobby didn't get hurt seriously too, because that was a wicked pitch to get hit by.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you take that risk every time you go up to the plate, right? But sure. in that particular case, yeah, we're very fortunate that it grazed him. And, yeah, overall, I have no idea. We never know if there's intent, but that certainly looked that way to me.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was as well. I've got two eyes. We all do. We all know the situation in the game, what Bobby was doing that day. They can say everything they want, and this is me, not you, speaking, but, you know, I think we're on the same page here. That was clear intent, and I also like the fact that you guys came back, plunked one of their guys, and then the umpires warned both sides, Matt. I thought that was like, all right, we know what's going on here. We're going to warn both sides. And then the skipper on the other side takes it to the next level, because I thought that was kind of the perfect way to retaliate, if you will, however you want to say it, for hitting Bobby Witt. And then the umpires understood and they warned everybody. And I thought they handled it great.
Yeah, warnings are one of those things that are, it's a very touch and go thing, because oftentimes it happens at a time where the team that gets hit is penalized essentially with the warnings. But in this case, regardless of the intent or what happened prior to that, you know, I think and I think Tory's point was right. If they thought there was intent for their guy to hit Bobby, then the umpire could have just thrown him out at that time, you know. And you know, so that's the only thing. If you could rewind it, it probably would have diffused the situation immediately.
Coming out of the All-Star game, four in a row, handling business on the offensive side, taking care of the White Sox. You win the first game. Now you're up in the rubber match tonight against Arizona. What's kind of been the spark that really has it? As I watched all season, Coach, and you know, you watch this team in the last four or five games. It seems like there's a bit of like a new sort of vibe within that locker room, or these guys, like, they know what's at stake, and that the games are starting to get smaller and smaller as the season goes on.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to the starting pitching. I mean, the first four games of the second half, the starters were outstanding. And anytime you're going to be in a game when your starters are keeping the other team limited in offense, you're going to have a chance. I don't know if it's a different vibe. I don't know if I would say that, because our guys have done a great job all year of turning the page to the next day. Whether we win the day before or lose, they come out to compete like crazy the next day. And I think that's what separates good teams, is that you don't worry about whether you had a good day or a bad day the day before. You're ready to go today, because, you know, when you're at the highest level of whatever sport you're competing in, yesterday is over. Nobody cares. The other team doesn't care what you did yesterday. They're coming out to beat you today, and that's what our guys have done a great job of.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, fun to kind of watch the rebound more than anything, because, you know, for so many years the Royals would lose one and then it turns into 10. You guys lose one, so what? We're back the next day. And to me, I think that really starts with Bobby and watching the way that just he plays. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody dominate a game like Bobby Witt is dominating right now. You know, when he gets up there, he's putting that ball in play. He's probably going to end up on second base. And if the leadoff guy gets on, it's a quick 1-0 lead already right out of the chute for you guys. From where you sit in that dugout, like, what are you thinking when you watch this guy play right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, this stretch of games has been, you know, otherworldly. I mean, I kind of joked about it. He's like that really big 12-year-old in Little League that is just playing at a different level than all the other kids that, but, you know, we saw him go on one of these runs last year too, kind of like, you know, end of July, early August, where he was just playing a different game than other guys. But, you know, I think what makes Bobby special is he understands the team concept as well. I mean, he's doing everything he can possibly do right now, but he's supporting his teammates. He's, you know, when he doesn't get a hit or he doesn't do something positive, he's right there ready to help the next guy. He's talking through what the pitcher's got with the guys that are coming up to hit. You know, and he, it's not just position players. I mean, I think our guys, Bobby specifically, but I think all our guys are breaking down that sometimes divide that, you know, with pitchers and position players. I mean, this team is very unified, and I think they all understand that everybody's got to do their job to for us to have a chance. Because while Bobby's swinging the bat extremely well and playing at a high level, he knows that he's one guy out of 26, and I think that's one of those separators that makes him special.
I think, Q, the difference now, though, with Witt and going on this tear now, he's doing it in games that are important games in a playoff race, and everybody's watching, and he hasn't wavered. Sometimes guys play great when nobody's paying attention. Literally, the world is paying attention and saying he should be the MVP of this league, and he's still going out there and raking like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
Thank you.
What I mean, and I think that there's going to be a point in these last couple months where he's not 12 for 13 or whatever, you know.
What?
Clearly. So, I mean, you're not going to see him waver in his intensity or his focus or his professionalism. None of that's going to change with him, and we know that, and those are the stabilizers. It's just like Salvi. I mean, they have the same demeanor and will to push teammates to get better and win games. And so it's not about them in their eyes. And that's what separates them.
You know, I also think low key what's working for you guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is like when stuff went down the other night, like Will Smith really started to lead that bullpen out onto the field. Like I saw that. I'm like, that's leadership mentality right there. And I think for that moment for me was the, that's why you have Will Smith on this team type of moment for me, because he was like, he was ready to lead that bullpen the other night.
Will Smith does a lot of things that lead, and most of them are never seen by the public. You know, a lot of them aren't even seen by me. I just know that they're going on. I mean, he is a true leader. He is a true professional. He knows what it's like to win. He knows what it's like to have fun in this game because you win. And I think those are the kinds of things that are immeasurable when, you know, I'm certainly not down there. I don't hear the conversations and things that are going on in the bullpen, but you can feel when he's around. You can sense when he's had an impact on the guys or even on one guy individually. So I did not see that the other night. You know, my attention was elsewhere,
right,
but it does not surprise me at all, because he is a true team leader.
Yeah, when you look at this team and you see how they play at home, I mean, I think you guys are 35-19. The other day we had callers in our postgame show and they were doing the Let's Go Lugo chants. You have the Bobby chants, obviously, every night. He's probably the hometown favorite by a landslide. What does that kind of do for the team? And, I mean, obviously the record would implicate that you guys are 35-19 at home, and playing here is a special place. But when you hear those chants, you see those sort of roars come out, and even when Castellanos hits Bobby Witt Jr., I'm going to be honest with you, when Robinson Cano did the home run derby here in 14, there were a lot of boos. That was pretty close to the same sort of volume of boos the other night.
Well, it's invigorating. You know, we know how special this city is and how special the fans are. We know what it's like. I've seen it on the other side. You guys have seen it as you know, the hometown fans. When this team is winning and that ballpark is full, it's a difference maker. And I think our guys are starting to sense that. Last weekend's crowds against the White Sox were huge and vocal. And, you know, the thing Monday night with the hit by pitch, that was another spot where you could sense the passion, you could sense the pride in what's been happening. And I think our players sense it too and feed off of it. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it last week or not, but it's been really impressive too. When we go on the road, I mean, the last road trip, we were in Colorado and St. Louis and Boston. There were a lot of Royals fans on the road, and that really struck me. That was really cool, because, you know, St. Louis is a traditional baseball city and they love their team. We had plenty of Royals fans there, and then Boston too. I mean, it's, you know what that place is like when you go there and they're winning, and that place is packed. But there were vocal Royals fans on the road too, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought Monday night was like that defining line, Skip, where you look at, you know, when did the city officially buy in and adopt this team? I thought Monday night was that night where this city finally came around and goes, this is our team and we're here to win.
Well, I mean, you certainly know from watching this more than I have. I mean, that's a great thing to hear. That's something that I hope is the case. And I think our guys have played with the kind of energy and the kind of effort that the city appreciates and the fans appreciate. And I mean, who doesn't love a playoff race, right? I mean, we're right in the middle of it. It's what we play for. It's what the fans want to see. So it's a two-way street.
All right, let's play the baseball card game before you go take two out of three from the Diamondbacks tonight. You ready?
Ready.
All right, here we go. We got an 88 Tops featuring Bobby Ojeda.
Oh, it's a tough one. It's a trick. Am I going to get this one wrong?
Don't overthink it.
The Mets.
Yes, you got it.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. You're going out
see
on top,
week.
Right? See you next week, Skip. Appreciate right. The time. Matt Quatrero with us here on 610 Sports Radio, the manager of the Royals. You can hear him exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. They get set for the Diamondbacks tonight out at Kauffman Stadium. Go take two out of three before an off day on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
And then have the Cubs roll into town for a weekend ass-whooping at the hands of the Royals.
And then you'll play your best friends, the Chicago
That's
White
right.
Sox.
Go right? play the White Sox up in Chicago.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has presented MyQ Technology, or patented MyQ Technology, and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. 18 games, too much or not enough? That's the question we have on the other side. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, Matt. Good morning.
Talk to the skipper of the Kansas City Royals, Mac Quatrero, here on 610 Sports Radio. I'll tell you what, Skip, this has been fun watching what's been going on since the All-Star break. But before we get into Bobby and how great he has been, what went down the other night that allowed the benches to get so heated like that? What happened out there from your perspective?
Well, I mean, started with the hit by pitch. I mean, everybody right. took exception to that. That was, you know, it's a bad look when, regardless of which team it is, when the game's getting opened up a little bit, somebody gets hit clearly, you know, especially when it's Bobby after the night he was having. It just got everybody's, you know, got everybody fueled up. And then when you, anytime when guys are out on the field at the same time, the passion gets going, people start talking, and there's not a lot of listening going on. It's more talking and more just, you know, bravado and stuff like that. But it's just whenever the opposing team is talking to your players, or our, if I were to go out there and confront their players, that's not a good look. And that's really what happened.
You know, I liken it to this, and I think you can probably relate being a dad. Like if somebody starts lecturing your kid, like, wait, hang on a second here. That you're not in charge of lecturing my kid. I'll handle that. I'll punish my kid. I'll discipline my kid. Don't start telling my kid what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, that's probably a good comparison. I think, and I have no doubt that Torrey had good intentions, and you know, things just got out of hand. You know, it just wasn't. But thankfully, it didn't get so out of hand that it was something, you know, that led to ejections or suspensions or anything like that.
And we're lucky Bobby didn't get hurt seriously too, because that was a wicked pitch to get hit by.
Yeah, well, I mean, you take that risk every time you go up to the plate, right? But sure. in that particular case, yeah, we're very fortunate that it grazed him. And, you know, overall, the I have no idea. We never know if there's intent, but that certainly looked that way to me.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was as well. I've got two eyes. We all do. We all know the situation in the game, what Bobby was doing that day. They can say everything they want, and this is me, not you speaking, but, you know, I think we're on the same page here. That was clear intent, and I also like the fact that you guys came back, plunked one of their guys, and then the umpires warned both sides, Matt. I thought that was like, all right, we know what's going on here. We're going to warn both sides. And then the skipper on the other side takes it to the next level, because I thought that was kind of the perfect way to retaliate, if you will, however you want to say it, for hitting Bobby Witt. And then the umpires understood and they warned everybody. And I thought they handled it great.
Yeah, warnings are one of those things that are, it's a very touch and go thing, because oftentimes it happens at a time where the team that gets hit is penalized essentially with the warnings. But in this case, regardless of the intent or the what happened prior to that, you know, I think and I think Torrey's point was right. If they thought there was intent for their guy to hit Bobby, then the umpire could have just thrown him out at that time, you know. And you know, so that's the only thing. If you could rewind it, it probably would have diffused the situation immediately.
Coming out of the All-Star game, four in a row, handling business on the offensive side, taking care of the White Sox. You win the first game. Now you're up in the rubber match tonight against Arizona. What's kind of been the spark that really has it? As I watched all season, Coach, and you watch this team in the last four or five games. It seems like there's a bit of like a new sort of vibe within that locker room, where these guys, like, they know what's at stake, and that the games are starting to get smaller and smaller as the season goes on.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to the starting pitching. I mean, the first four games of the second half, the starters were outstanding. And anytime you're going to be in a game when your starters are keeping the other team limited in offense, you're going to have a chance. I don't know if it's a different vibe. I don't know if I would say that, because our guys have done a great job all year of turning the page to the next day. Whether we win the day before or lose, they come out to compete like crazy the next day. And I think that's what separates good teams, is that you don't worry about whether you had a good day or a bad day the day before. You're ready to go today, because, you know, when you're at the highest level of whatever sport you're competing in, yesterday is over. Nobody cares. The other team doesn't care what you did yesterday. They're coming out to beat you today, and that's what our guys have done a great job of.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, fun to kind of watch the rebound more than anything, because, you know, for so many years the Royals would lose one and then it turns into 10. You guys lose one, so what? We're back the next day. And to me, I think that really starts with Bobby and watching the way that just he plays. I mean, look, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody dominate a game like Bobby Witt is dominating right now. You know, when he gets up there, he's putting that ball in play. He's probably going to end up on second base, and if the leadoff guy gets on, it's a quick 1-0 lead already right out of the chute for you guys. From where you sit in that dugout, like, what are you thinking when you watch this guy play right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, this stretch of games has been, you know, otherworldly. I mean, I kind of joked about it. He's like that really big 12-year-old in Little League that is just playing at a different level than all the other kids. But you know, we saw him go on one of these runs last year too, kind of like, you know, end of July, early August, where he was just playing a different game than other guys. But, you know, I think what makes Bobby special is he understands the team concept as well. I mean, he's doing everything he can possibly do right now, but he's supporting his teammates. He's, you know, when he doesn't get a hit or he doesn't do something positive, he's right there ready to help the next guy. He's talking through what the pitcher's got with the guys that are coming up to hit, you know, and he, it's not just position players. I mean, I think our guys, Bobby specifically, but I think all our guys are breaking down that sometimes divide that, you know, with pitchers and position players. I mean, this team is very unified, and I think they all understand that everybody's got to do their job for us to have a chance, because while Bobby's swinging the bat extremely well and playing at a high level, he knows that he's one guy out of 26. And I think that's one of those separators that makes him special.
I think, Q, the difference now, though, with Witt and going on this tear now, he's doing it in games that are important games in a playoff race, and everybody's watching, and he hasn't wavered. Sometimes guys play great when nobody's paying attention. Literally, the world is paying attention and saying he should be the MVP of this league, and he's still going out there and raking like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, and I think that there's going to be a point in these last couple months where he's not 12 for 13 or whatever, you know.
What?
Clearly. So, I mean, you're not going to see him waver in his intensity or his focus or his professionalism. None of that's going to change with him, and we know that. And those are the stabilizers. It's just like Salvi. I mean, they have the same demeanor and will to push teammates to get better and win games. And so it's not about them in their eyes. And that's what separates them.
You know, I also think low key what's working for you guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is like when stuff went down the other night, like Will Smith really started to lead that bullpen out onto the field. Like I saw that. I'm like, that's leadership mentality right there. And I think for that moment for me was that's why you have Will Smith on this team type of moment for me, because he was like, he was ready to lead that bullpen the other night.
Will Smith does a lot of things that lead. Yeah. And most of them are never seen by the public. You know, a lot of them aren't even seen by me. I just know that they're going on. I mean, he is a true leader. He is a true professional. He knows what it's like to win. He knows what it's like to have fun in this game because you win. And I think those are the kinds of things that are immeasurable when, you know, I'm certainly not down there. I don't hear the conversations and things that are going on in the bullpen, but you can feel when he's around. You can sense when he's had an impact on the guys or even on one guy individually. So I did not see that the other night. You know, my attention was elsewhere,
right.
But it does not surprise me at all, because he is a true team leader.
Yeah, when you look at this team and you see how they play at home, you know, I think you guys are 35-19. The other day we had callers in our postgame show and they were doing the Let's Go Lugo chants. You have the Bobby chants, obviously, every night. He's probably the hometown favorite by a landslide. What does that kind of do for the team? And, I mean, obviously the record would implicate that you guys are 35-19 at home, and playing here is a special place. But when you hear those chants, you see those sort of roars come out, and even when Castellanos hits Bobby Witt Jr., I'm going to be honest with you, when Robinson Cano did the home run derby here in 14, there were a lot of boos. That was pretty close to the same sort of volume of boos the other night.
Well, it's invigorating. You know, we know how special this city is and how special the fans are. We know what it's like. I've seen it on the other side. You guys have seen it as you know, the hometown fans. When this team is winning and that ballpark is full, it's a difference maker. And I think our guys are starting to sense that. Last weekend's crowds against the White Sox were huge and vocal. And, you know, the thing Monday night with the hit by pitch, that was another spot where you could sense the passion, you could sense the pride in what's been happening. And I think our players sense it too and feed off of it. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it last week or not, but it's been really impressive too. When we go on the road, I mean, the last road trip, we were in Colorado and St. Louis and Boston. There were a lot of Royals fans on the road, and that really struck me. That was really cool, because, you know, St. Louis is a traditional baseball city and they love their team. We had plenty of Royals fans there, and then Boston too. I mean, you know what that place is like when you go there and they're winning, and that place is packed. But there were vocal Royals fans on the road too, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought Monday night was like that defining line, Skip, where you look at, you know, when did the city officially buy in and adopt this team? I thought Monday night was that night where this city finally came around and goes, this is our team and we're here to win.
Well, I mean, you certainly know from watching this more than I have. I mean, that's a great thing to hear. That's something that I hope is the case. And I think our guys have played with the kind of energy and the kind of effort that the city appreciates and the fans appreciate. And I mean, who doesn't love a playoff race, right?
Right.
I mean, we're right in the middle of it. It's what we play for. It's what the fans want to see. So it's a two-way street.
All right, let's play the baseball card game before you go take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks tonight. You ready?
Ready.
All right, here we go. We got an 88 Tops featuring Bobby Ojeda.
Oh, it's a tough one. It's a trick. Am I going to get this one wrong?
Don't overthink it.
The Mets.
Yes, you got it.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. You're going out
See
on top, right? See you next week, Skip. Appreciate
right.
the time. Matt Quatrero with us here on 610 Sports Radio, the manager of the Royals. You can hear him exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. They get set for the Diamondbacks tonight out at Kauffman Stadium, go take 2 out of 3 before an off day on Thursday, and then have the Cubs roll into town for a weekend ass whooping at the hands of the Royals.
And then you'll play your best friends, the Chicago
White
Sox.
That's right. Go play the White Sox up in Chicago.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has presented MyQ Technology, or patented MyQ Technology, and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. 18 games, too much or not enough? That's the question we have on the other side. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.